Hello and welcome, everyone, to Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for all things related to the Atlanta Braves minor league system. As always, I am your host, Gaurav, and today we have an exciting episode dedicated to the first half All-Stars of the year. The first half of the season came to a close a couple of weeks ago, and we're here to shine a spotlight on those who truly stood out from the rest of the organization. From explosive hitters to dominant pitchers, we've got it all covered for you today. We'll be discussing their development, their standout moments, and what the future might hold for some of them. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the promising world of Braves baseball and the bright prospects who are making those waves. Joining me today is Garrett Spain. How are you doing today?
I am doing all right, a little inspired after that incredible intro of yours.
Thank you. I've been working on that one.
he's been hard at work lately on that. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's exciting. We got the MLB draft going in about a week. Both of us are going to be living online for the, you know, for that entire week and just getting prepared for that. But let's go ahead and get things started with another episode of Peach State Prospects. What we're going to do is we're going to go through our pitching. From there, we're going to head over to the field and talk about those on a position by position basis. So starting with the starting pitching in AAA, we have Allen Winans, who went 4-3 with a 3.27 ERA. He was dealing with blister issues earlier in the season, but he really seems to have come into form. To go along with that 3.27 ERA, he's got an 8.7 K per nine rate, as well as walking just a hair under 3 per 9. Down in Mississippi, we have Ian Mejia. Should surprise absolutely nobody. Ian on the season is 6-3 with a 3.16 ERA. Again, a 9.6 K per nine and walking 3.5 per 9 as well. It also should be of no surprise who this goes to for High A, which is Owen Murphy, before his unfortunate injury. Owen was 4-2 with a sparkling 1.98 ERA, a 0.732 WHIP. He was striking out 13 per nine while walking 2.6 per nine. Just a special season, but that's absolutely ravaged by injury, unfortunately. And finally, down in low A, we have Didier Fuentes. Again, no surprise there. Didier went 3-4 with a 2.26 ERA, a sub one whip, 11 K per nine, and 2.6 walks per nine. Garrett, let's get your initial thoughts on those and let's hear what you have to say about them.
Yeah, I mean, Fuentes is definitely the one that I would say of all pitchers, other than, you know, what Schwellenbach is doing in the major league level, you know, Fuentes is really the guy that stood out top to bottom from the beginning of the year. He was 18 up until a couple of weeks ago and he had an 11 strikeout game on May 21st. And pretty much ever since then, he has been the top guy in the system. And it really hasn't even been close. He's been so dominant down there and he's really doing it with two pitches. He's kind of an interesting guy. You know, usually the Braves get those guys throwing changeups early. We really haven't seen that from Fuentes. So I'm kind of interested to see how his development goes in that regard. But having the fastball and slider he does now with the command that he does and the athleticism, that's such an interesting prospect and a guy that I know we're all very high on. You know, even though he doesn't have that changeup, you kind of look at him as a guy that with the athleticism, you kind of think he can develop that changeup down the line. I'm really excited about him. And then, you know, back to Mejia, it kind of feels like, he's slowed down really since that start and really since we did a episode on him. But even slowing down, he's been, you know, mid three ERA for the last couple of months, you know, and this is doing worse than he was at the beginning of the year. You know, it seems like double A hitters have kind of gotten a chance to see him a little bit and feel out his pitches, but he's looked strong. You know, I want to see a little bit more, still want to see more out of the splitter from him, but he's looked good even as he's kind of struggled lately.
Yeah, I know Fuentes just missed Baseball America's top 30, and, you know, this is absolutely no disrespect to Baseball America. Carlos Collazo was just on the podcast last week. Do think that's a big miss there. He's a special player, and like you said, the two-pitch mix, you can't have, you know, you don't see that type of command from someone so young. As Garrett said, he just turned 19 not even that long ago. And to have that kind of command with those two pitches, it's fantastic. And hopefully we will see that development of that third pitch when he really needs to. Maybe that will be in Rome. But a lot to like from him. Switching over to the relief corps, starting at the top at AAA, Grant Holmes takes that award. He went 3-2 on the season with three starts. As you know, he is now in Atlanta, but down in Gwinnett, incredible. 2.63 ERA, 1.171 WHIP. He had an 11.2 K per nine and was walking three per nine. Again, he's found himself in Gwinnett, and it looks like he's going to be there for quite some time. Down in Double A, he's now in Triple A, but down in Double A is Hayden Harris, 2-2 with a 2.96 ERA. He's walking 3.7 per nine and striking out nearly 16 per nine. Over in High A is Ellison Joseph, who recently got promoted today to Double A Mississippi. But Ellison was 1-2 with a 2.48 ERA, a 1.041 WHIP. He's striking out 12.7 per nine and walking just under four at 3.6 per nine. And then finally, rounding out the relief corps is down in Low A, William Silva. William was 1-1 with a 2.51 ERA, 1.1186 WHIP, 11.6 K per nine, and a 2.8 walk per nine rate. Garrett, what do you have on that relief corps?
Yeah, Ellison Joseph is a guy that we've kind of watched for a few years. He was signed in 2019, didn't really debut until a couple of years ago, just with the pandemic and all of that. But he really stood out early on with, very high strikeout rates the entire time. A fastball that he can run into the upper 90s with a hard breaking slider, and he's just been one of those guys that just can't find the zone. Just doesn't matter what he throws, he can't really land it in the zone consistently. And so he's struggled with walks. He had 31 last season and 45 innings. And it's been a struggle for him. He's 23 now, though he was a later signing as international guys go. And so it was kind of one of those things where he was on the fringes of like, do you give up on this guy, even with the talent? But this year he's really come out and he's thrown more strikes. And I'm interested to see what he does at Double A. If he goes to Double A and he's still throwing strikes with his raw stuff, I mean, that's a guy that could get back into the top 30 sort of recognition just because of how good his fastball is, really. I mean, it's, an upper 90s fastball pretty consistently.
Another note on Ellison is just the fact that he's got a 3.6 not walk per nine rate. However, his WHIP is still 1.041, which obviously means he's not giving up a ton of hits whatsoever. So that's very encouraging. And a little note on Hayden Harris. He has a 50% whiff rate on his fastball while at AAA. Those of you that are listening to this podcast have probably heard us talk about Hayden and his very tricky low 90s fastball with that vertical approach angle. So it's very encouraging to see that whiff rate still that high over in AAA. And he leads the systems in strikeout per nine. That closes us out for the pitching. Let's head over to the diamond and talk about the infield play. Starting at the catcher position, I mean, this is no surprise to absolutely anyone that's watched a single minor league baseball game. That award goes to Drake Baldwin. On the season, Baldwin has a 741 OPS. With Double A Mississippi, where he appeared in 52 games, had a 650 OPS with a 94 WRC plus. Upon getting promoted to Triple A Gwinnett, he comes in at a 943 OPS. This is in 21 games. To go along with a 148 WRC plus. Over at first is Drew Compton from Georgia Tech. I had to throw that in there. On the season, Drew has got an 810 OPS. Over in Low A Augusta, he appeared in 43 games, had an 836 OPS and a 147 WRC plus. He's now appeared in 21 games for the Rome Embers and has a 759 OPS to go along with a 115 WRC plus. Over in the second base position, no surprise there, EJ Exposito. EJ has an 833 OPS and a 129 WRC plus. He got off to that blistering start, has cooled down just a bit, but still the best second base prospect in the organization. Over at shortstop is Nacho Alvarez, who has an 802 OPS on the season. He appeared in 48 games for the Mississippi Braves, where he had a 693 OPS and a 115 WRC plus. Since getting promoted to AAA Gwinnett, he has appeared in 21 games. He's got a 1,010 OPS, which is good for a 160 WRC plus. And heading over to third base is Sabin Ceballos. Sabin has a 740 OPS and a 112 WRC plus. Garrett, what else do you have for us from that really, really intriguing infield?
Yeah, typically the Braves are kind of outfield heavy on their prospects, but really this year, I mean, there haven't been a ton of guys in the system overall that have hit well, but most of them have come from the infield. I mean, Drake Baldwin, probably the most, like, coming into this year, I think we both liked him, but it was kind of he still needs to kind of prove he can get to that next level and got off to a bad start, but at AAA, I mean, every single metric you look at, everything he does on the field is spectacular. And I really think that this is a guy that I think we both agree top pro position player prospect in the system, a guy we think should be in the top 100. Just he's had such a major breakout this year, and it's really come with his ability to make impact contact. And we always knew he had the strength. It was just putting it into games. He's done it so well this year, and it's just been impressive to watch. Exposito, even though the power has dropped off lately, it is important to note. I mean, he's still drawing walks, not striking out a ton. And so we didn't think that he was going to sustain the power he had early in the year, especially given that run environment there. But the fact that he's still hitting is important because I really think that the strikeouts were the biggest thing for him. And then Alvarez, in addition to Alvarez, I mean, both of them going up to AAA, him and Baldwin going up to AAA and hitting the way they have is really impressive because that's a fairly tough jump. Now, it's not as big as I would say, like high 80 AA is bigger. And obviously, AAA to the major leagues is by far the biggest. But that AA to AAA jump for some guys can be difficult. A guy that it would have been difficult for example, was Drew Waters. But one of the things that's really stood out for Alvarez is every single step of the way he's gone up, he's never struggled. Like he gets to a level and he figures it out. Just the way his approach is, his ability to recognize pitches and recognize his zone is so good that even when he's not hitting for power, it doesn't matter what level you put him at, he can at least hit. And we've really seen with Double A. I mean, he had that power output early in this kind of earlier on in his time at Triple A. Had another home run last week, an opposite field home run. A very good, we're seeing power from him. That's important. I do think that, again, those numbers are going to drop off, but just seeing him go to AAA and just immediately take to hitting the more advanced pitching like that is really impressive. And not a lot of guys can make that leap so effectively.
I feel like that's a important distinction that you made there. That jump from double A to triple A is almost like, if I had to say, going into a draft and those showcases, Matt Powers from a couple of weeks ago was talking about how important those showcases are because you sit, you really face premium talent. Now that jump from double A to triple A is almost like a showcase in its own because you start facing that MLB talent. Now we're not saying it's high end, but you're facing those quad A players. You are seeing like a Darius Vines, Allen Wynn, players that have MLB, that have and will have, continue to have MLB careers, a lot more polished. They have those secondaries that are a lot more advanced. So seeing this kind of production from Nacho Alvarez and Drake Baldwin still continuing at this level is something really to be proud of and something to be excited about. When you talk about, Sabin Ceballos, another player who got off to a bit of a struggle, but that power is starting to really come together. And I saw an article from Baseball Prospectus that came out this week talking about some of those swing changes that Ceballos has had over the past 3 or 4 weeks, where he's trying to be more cognizant of lifting the ball. And you're starting to really see see that impact on his overall lines and how he's starting to drive that ball a little more. Garrett, I'd love to hear from you. Have you seen anything specifically about Sabine over the past 3 weeks, or is it, just something to be, he's now starting to hit how we expected to?
I definitely think we expected to see more power from him. It's been good to see him hit, but I definitely think over the last couple of weeks, one of the big things is he's really chasing. We know he has the strength, but he's really chasing that hard contact, especially early in at bats. And he's looking to turn on pitches, especially pitches on the inner half of the plate, and hit them for home runs. And so now we're seeing a lot. We saw a lot of doubles, a lot of home runs over the past few weeks that we really weren't seeing from him. I still think for him, pitches middle of the plate and out, he still struggles to really make impact contact on, but really getting that inner half of the plate and taking control of that side of the plate and hitting pretty much anything you throw in there has been good. And Ceballos is a guy I like, and a guy that, it kind of feels weird to be disappointed in a guy who's still been an above average hitter this year, right? But it's been a little bit disappointing not seeing that power and seeing him lately really attack pitches more than he was early in the year, where he was chasing singles and chasing contact, has been a very important development for him.
And just to go back to EJ Exposito, you talked about how his power of late isn't quite there, but he's still getting on at a good rate and still not striking out as he has in the past. It's important to note that despite the power starting to, decrease just a little bit, he still leads the system in doubles and home runs and slugging percentage. So absolute deserving first half all-star for EJ Exposito. That closes us off for the infield. Heading out to the outfield, we have starting at the top. Well, not starting at the top, but we decided to go the route of picking three outfielders and a DH. In our outfield, first off is Eli White, who finds himself in Atlanta today. Eli White had an 864 OPS on the season. He's gotten, I believe, 18 stolen bases to go with just two caught stealings, as well as seven homers. He's had a really strong season for Gwinnett, and it's not a surprise that he's over in Atlanta trying to add some stability to that outfield position. Outfield number two spot goes to Jace Grady. On the season, Jace has a 780 OPS. In 45 games down in Augusta, Jace had a 827 OPS to go with a 143 WRC plus. He's now found a home in Rome, where he currently has a 618 OPS in 15 games and a 78 WRC plus. And then rounding out the outfield is Ethan Werkinger. Ethan has got a 771 OPS on the season and a 118 WRC plus. And taking the honor for the DH spot is Junior Garcia. Junior has an 807 OPS on the season, which is good enough for a 123 WRC plus. Garrett, what do you have for us for those outfielders?
With Werkinger, he was an undrafted guy who he's an older player. Really, all three of the outfielders there are older players. White, of course, is, a real actual major league player there. And then, with Werkinger, he's kind of been a guy who's inconsistent. He'll hit and go through stretches where he's hitting for power, hitting for contact, drawing a lot of walks, and then especially right after he gets promoted, he'll really fall off a cliff. And he did that last year when he went from Augusta to Rome. We've seen some swing changes with him where he's dropped his hands a bit, and he seems to be, again, kind of doing like we were talking about with Ceballos, really trying to hit for power, especially on the pull side. So he's a guy that there's a lot more offensive talent there than you typically would get out of an undrafted free agent. And we've seen him do well so far in his professional career. If he hits for more power, I mean, that's a guy that, you could kind of see as a fourth or fifth type of outfielder in the major league level. He's very limited defensively, and that's really kind of one of the things. If he was a great defender, then he'd really be looking at, a top 30 sort of nod. And then Grady kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, like a slow like series at the beginning of the year in Augusta. Then he really turned it on and kind of hit well as the year went on, and he was the best hitter in that lineup for a very long period of time. We've seen a lot more contact skill from him this year than we were somewhat expecting. We knew that there was a little bit of a hit tool question with him coming out after being drafted last year. He made a lot of contact this year. So far at Rome, he's really not drawing as many walks as we saw in high, but in single A, but that's what you would expect. He's drawing enough walks, but this guy that he didn't hit for power early in the year, kind of had a power stretch. Now he's kind of slowed down in terms of hitting for power. And I think that's ultimately going to be his determining factor is, does he really hit for enough power to justify the on-base skill? Because he does have on-base skill and he can play a little bit of center field, though he's better off in a corner. So it's a guy that, again, you could kind of see in that major league bench role. It's just a matter of does he eventually hit for enough power there? And so far, we've seen it in flashes, just not a consistent production there. And then Junior Garcia, 19-year-old doing as well as he is at the complex league level is very impressive. A guy that's hit and hit for power pretty much throughout his career. Not a guy that I will say this, he's not a DH, right? Like we put basically DH here because no one plays full-time DH at the minor league level pretty much. DH was our position to say this is just the best of everybody else. And Garcia was the one that I wanted to point out just because, we don't talk about these complex level guys a lot. And he's a player that I would really like to see play because it sounds like he's another one of those kind of outfielders they put through the system quite a lot where super high-end talent. You can put out good exit velocities. Will he ever hit enough? So far, he's hit well at the lower minor league level, though I don't think, in the complex league, pretty much everyone who's any good hits. So his performance hasn't been spectacular or anything, but he's been very solid, and he's a guy that I could really see in Augusta pretty soon.
I know there's a few players down in complex ball that are very intriguing that we would love to be able to see. Junior Garcia, like you said, you got the likes of John Gill, super toolsy infielder. Jose Perdomo, love to see him healthy and playing again, but that's something that we'll keep an eye out on for an eye out for. You also have the likes of none other than Luis Guanipa, Douglas Glaude, some of the bigger international free agent signings. As of the today when we record, Guanipa went 3 for 4 with a pair of triples and a single. I have a feeling that he's going to be someone that makes this list next year. If not, hopefully makes this list as a second half all-star over in Augusta. Before we close, Garrett, I just want to know if you had any kind of final thoughts on the state of the organization as of the first half of the season.
Yeah, I do like to mention there, John Gill. Guanipa, of course, is a guy that we like, but Gill has been fantastic. I put it up earlier that he had a 6.3% strikeout rate over his past 16 games. It's now 6.1% after going 1 for 3 with no strikeouts today. Gill is a guy that you kind of see a swing where he could hit for power. Super athletic guy, can run well, has stolen 21 bases this year. Well, 21 bases coming into this game. 22 now. He stole a base today. So, athletic guy, plays shortstop. He actually moved from third base to shortstop this year, which is not a move guys typically make at the professional level. Play shortstop, has some raw power and really has a swing that could hit for power down the road. And he's hitting very consistently. He's really been the best hitter on that team this year outside of a, 3-game stretch in the middle of the year that's kind of dragging his numbers down. He's a player that we've heard good reports on, and he should be in Augusta soon. And he's probably, other than Guanipa, the guy that I'm most excited to really put eyes on because the way he had a great year last year in the DSL. He's kind of broken out with the Florida Complex League Braves. That's a guy that we're really interested too. And he is, if Nacho Alvarez wasn't so good, he would have gotten consideration for the All-Star team. But unfortunately, Alvarez has been very, very good.
Funny that you say that. I got the opportunity to scout to talk to the scout that actually signed John Gill, and the way he described him to me was he's someone that can pretty much play any position on, not just the infield, but any position in baseball, period, outside of catcher and pitcher. He's
Right.
got those five tools. He's got a crazy arm, great power. It's that, like that, like you said, that swing is beautiful, and it's some. I know we've talked about him previously in our own messages. You see some minor tweaks that he can make, but being that young and having a swing that's, let's be real, that's sweet. It's something special, and it's someone that we're going to be monitoring like crazy upon being placed in Augusta, and especially next year, because he's got those really loud tools that make him a very intriguing player. And he's someone where if everything comes together, that is 100% a top 100 player and someone that provides incredible value for a major league franchise. Now we're talking well down the road. He's still in complex ball and he's facing, lesser talent. But again, that's a very intriguing player. Well, thank you all. That wraps up this episode of Peach State Prospects. We hope you enjoyed our dive into the first half All-Stars of the Braves minor league system. We got a packed week next week. Let's not forget that the MLB draft is just around the corner happening next week, and it's, just another opportunity to add even more talent to what's becoming a, rated kind of low, but it's becoming a more intriguing, especially with some of these international players, a more intriguing system. We'll be keeping a very close eye on the draft. The two of us are going to be creating a lot of content over the next week or so between your work with Battery Powered, my work with Battery Powered, House That Hank Built, and of course, SB Nation in general. We want to make sure we provide spectacular coverage for you all over at Peach State Prospects. We're going to have a couple of podcasts next week. We're going to make sure that Matt Powers joins us again to get his thoughts on the Braves draft as well. Whew, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Peach State Prospects. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed this show, please leave us a review and share it with all of your fellow Braves fans. Until next time, keep rooting for the future stars of the Braves and stay passionate about minor league baseball. This is Gaurav signing off.